Damn, this coffee's good.
That
keep me alive.
The opening. Sponsor us, coffee companies. Sorry,
I'm not. Bring on beans. Bits and twigs and beans.
Yeah, exactly. I'll even do instant coffee. I don't care. Somebody sponsor us. Now I'm sounding pathetic.
Just, please, somebody pay me to do this thing that I'm doing for free already. Wait, okay, never mind. I get it now.
Yeah.
Maybe if we threaten to stop, somebody will start paying us.
Maybe. You think so? Okay, I'll let you get started.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Mitts and Twigs podcast. I am Mitts. They call me that because of my silky smooth hands. With me, as always, the yin to my yang, the peanut butter to my jelly, Twigs, who got his name ironically kind of like Little John from Robin Hood. If you don't get that reference, I'm sorry, kids, you were brought up wrong. Ty, how you doing today?
I'm doing well, man. That was quite the intro. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, I've told you, and I'll share with our listeners, I had a little too much fun last night, and so I am feeling a little rough this morning. If you hear a little extra bass in my voice, or if you think that I'm saying things a little more off the cuff than normal, that's because I'm dying inside. And but you know what? No days off, right? We're getting it done.
We don't want it any other way, Matt. This is right? What we want from you. We want off the cuff, Matt.
Yeah. Yeah, because I mean, when it comes down to it, it's about pride, it's about power.
You got to stay hungry, you know? make sure you devour. Okay, this is getting dumb.
Yeah. Oh, I started to get mixed up with the Cool Runnings. I see pride, I see power, I see a badass, you know? But and
I'm to the Rock rap song, which is in my head constantly because I work at a school, so I hear it all the time.
Yeah.
Do so many
well, things. Gang, if we haven't lost you already, today's episode should be a great one. We're going to run through. It's going to be, I'm not going to spoil any topics. You're going to find it as we go along. It is going to be a little playoff based. Not surprised. We're like 2 weeks away. But first, we'd be remiss if we didn't note and celebrate the return of one Mr. Carey Price. Returned to the ice this past week. I don't think the results are really worth getting into, and I don't even mean that in a facetious way. What would you expect from a team that's not having a great year and a guy who's been off for almost a full year and dealing with some much more important things? Ty, I'm not sure if you got to see much of it. I really only got to catch kind of some of the early stuff. I got to see he spent had a really nice moment with his family on the other side of the glass there that he was connecting with, which was really touching to me. But great to see him back on the ice. I think hockey and the Montreal Canadiens is better with Carey Price out there. And I really loved it. He was open and then he took this time to try to better himself.
Yeah, I think it's awesome. Just from the reception of the fans and seeing him skate on the ice and everybody chanting his name and how much he means to that organization. A lot of the times in the NHL and with the salary cap, it just automatically goes this way. Players with big caps and all that kind of stuff, they get a bad rep sometimes when they get towards the end of their career. This guy has been like a staple in Montreal, right? He's been like the hero in Montreal for years. Last year, he took them all the way to the Stanley Cup Finals. Sadly, they probably should not have belonged there and, you know, whatever, they lost anyways. But still, this guy means a lot to that organization. He means a lot to Montreal and the fans showed it. And it's good to see Carey Price back on the ice. The NHL is better with Carey Price. And I'm happy he could, you know, work on himself for a while, do the, you know, it's very unselfish to work on yourself. I think that's awesome. So good on Carey Price.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, maybe this is not the right way of saying it, but I think, you know, you owe it to your partner, to your children, to ensure that you are taking care of yourself. Yeah. You know, it's that kind of thing. And so I think that's I commend him for putting in that work. Even in a job environment that, you know, can be tough for that kind of thing. And traditionally hasn't made a lot of room for that or shown a lot of respect for people that have done that. So that's great. And to segue a little bit as well, I think it was nice that they were able to kind of share that moment with commemorating the legacy of Mike Bossy, who passed away as well this week, with the Islanders in town, just simply probably the greatest pure goal scorer in the history of the game. Yeah, I thought that was, you know, That was nice that they were able to kind of share both those moments that were both very important to each team and the NHL for very different reasons. But yeah, they managed to pull it off, and kudos to everybody involved.
Yeah, that was beautifully said. I don't have much more to add than I said in my prayers and loves to Mike Bossy's family. That's a tough situation. I'm sure the whole hockey community and world has got you in their minds and their thoughts. So sorry about that, and best of luck.
Yeah. Well, segueing from the heartfelt, emotional, thoughtful stuff, let's get right into the mud saying.
Yes.
Ty.
Yeah.
What is going on with the LA Kings?
Man, the LA Kings, I watch a lot of Pacific games, and this is a team, like a typical LA Kings team, where, like, you know, they'll clog it up, they'll slow it down, they'll play defensive, they'll, you know, transition well, they're not going to give up a lot. But when you look at this team's metrics and like all their stats and analytics, I am dumbfounded to think how this team is a playoff team, other than like, this is where analytics and eye test, like, this is the perfect argument, right? This team right now is 21st in goals per game. They are 13th in goals against. Their power play is 27th, and their penalty kill is 22nd. That does not sound like a playoff team, does it? Not to me. Also, they have battled injuries tremendously this year. Like, they've had injuries all year, and they are still sitting third in the Pacific. The LA Kings are starting to come back to reality a little bit. They're 2-5, 2-3 in their last five. They're, I think, 1 point or 2 points above, let me look here, above Vegas. I'm pretty sure it's,
yeah. I think there's 3 points on Vegas. Vegas has a game in hand.
Oh, yeah, they are 3 points on Vegas. They were 2 points yesterday, but I think, yeah. Right? So, I don't know. I don't know if I can see them going into the playoffs. They're goaltending suspect. You know what? This is the best. If Drew Doughty was still healthy, believe it or not, I think this team would be better equipped to make it in. They are deep down the center. When you have Quinton Byfield, who's a highly regarded prospect, playing your third or fourth line C, and Philip Deneau is playing over his head, he's playing unreal. Like, that looks like the best signing in last season's free agency. He has done amazing in LA, which is awesome, which is giving Anze Kopitar a little bit. Adrian Kempe has played really well. I just don't know if I can – it's going to be tight. I am – Vegas is right there, and I don't think four Pacific teams make it. So LA has got to fight tooth and nail to get in here. And yeah, I just, the whole overall of the team doesn't make sense how it's a playoff team. But when you watch it, you're like, wow, they clog it up. And that's what playoff teams do. So do I want to play them in the playoffs? No, but do I think they're going to make the, does this make sense? Do I think they're going to make the playoffs? Like, not really either, but I don't want to play them. So what about you, Matty?
Yeah, I think that, that the Drew Doughty injury is huge, I think, for them. Obviously, not only arguably one of their best players, or I should say arguably, clearly one of their best players, but arguably the best player and the most impactful leader on that team. You just can't replace a guy like that. And so I think that's what we're seeing, is that it was a team that was playing pretty well, maybe playing a little bit above what the record being a little bit above what you would expect based on the metrics and based on the analytics and how they look, but they were making it work. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's about wins and losses, but without Drew there, I think that, I just don't think that they have quite enough. I think now they're more playing in line with kind of what their talent really is. And everything you said was spot on down the middle. They're great. I don't know how beneficial it is to have a hot prospect playing third and fourth line minutes.
Yeah.
In terms of his long-term development, but I mean, it's probably works well for them. And I mean, looking back when they signed Philip Deneau, I mean, some of the early projections were this could actually be super beneficial to Anze Kopitar. And that's what we're seeing is exactly that, is now instead of Anze having to always be that guy, especially in like those defense end draws and whatnot, you've got Philip to kind of come in and take that. And Anze gets to focus more on being that offensive threat. And that, you know, just an all-around player as well, instead of focusing on this defense as much as he had to in previous years. And it's freeing him up. And it's exactly as predicted. That's an amazing signing. It's benefited the team. It's benefited the players around him. Just kudos for that signing. But more and more, it looks like Nashville and Dallas are playing. They're both playing pretty well right now. Pretty much of every team that's in or around the playoff mix in the West, the Kings are the only team that aren't playing well.
Yeah.
They don't have enough buffer to hang on. So Nashville and Dallas, it's looking more and more like they're going to get those two wild card spots,
right?
Because they actually also have two games in hand of the Kings, one on Vegas, and they're ahead of both of those teams. So it will probably come down to which team can snag that last Pacific spot. Vegas is heating up. Vegas is getting healthy for the first time. And the players that have come back, like Patch Reddy and Stone, they've actually got a couple games under the belt now. And so, yeah, Vegas is in a position where they could, if they start heating up, they're gonna be able to pass the Kings in a game or two. And dang, if Vegas hits their stride into what we thought they could be in the fall, now they're going to be a tough out in the playoffs as well. I'm still holding out hope. And it was a prayer like 2 months ago when Brucey B came in. But Vancouver still has that slim hope. They've got two games at hand on LA. They're 6 points back of that third spot. It's very unlikely. I get that. But especially now that Bo's out, they rely on him quite a bit. You know, that's not a surprise to anybody. So I know Vancouver's probably not going to squeak in there. But dang, Vegas and LA, one of those teams is getting that last spot. LA has it right now, but it's not looking good. It's not looking good at all.
Here's a little optimism for the LA Kings. Okay. They have probably the nicest schedule to end their season with. Like, it is nice. So they have on the 19th, they have the Ducks, then they have Chicago, then the Ducks, then Seattle, and then their toughest matchup of all, Vancouver. Like, that is a nice schedule. And then you talk about
Vegas. I take it all back. The Kings are a lock.
Yeah, like those are all games. Like, if the Kings don't win those games, then they don't deserve to be in the playoffs, because those are all easy, easy wins. Where Vegas is the Devils, which is easy. Well, nothing's easy in the NHL, but it's on the easier side. Then they have Washington, San Jose sneaky, and then a very important game against Dallas, and then Chicago, and then they play the Blues. So three of their last six games are really tough, right? So it's tough because it's really in LA's hands, right? I'm with you. I was definitely rooting for Vancouver. If you could have Calgary, Edmonton, Vancouver in the playoffs, that would be unreal.
Maybe.
There's so many things that I like about Vancouver. JT Miller, love him. Horvat, I'm pretty sure he's in a contract year this year, so he's playing a little over his head, but he's going to get paid. They have tons of depth. Thatcher Demko can steal you a series easily. Like, if you were going to rank all the goalies in Canada right now, it's hard not to say Thatcher Demko isn't the best one. I think he gets shelled sometimes because of the poor defense that the Vancouver Canucks have, like, other than Quinn Hughes. And even Quinn Hughes is not like a defensive defenseman, but like, he's okay in his own end. But really, if Ekman Larson's your best defensive defenseman, you got some problems. So do I think Vancouver is going to stay in this limbo? No, Vancouver, like, Elias Pettersson has played unreal. I think I saw a thing they had, like, what was it, 32 or 42 points in his last 20 something. Like, he is playing out of his mind, finally under a coach that's not like, you know, what Jeff Ward did to Johnny Gaudreau, playing him on the fourth line last year. These guys are going to struggle, but Bruce Boudreau sees that, okay, this is a highly offensive player. We're going to give him every opportunity, and he has rewarded him, right? Mm-hmm. Like, this team is like, if you had Bruce Boudreau at the start of the year, and Rutherford and Alvin all at the helm, this team would be a playoff team easily. How can it not? Like, systematically and coached, like, and structurally coached at the start of the year was awful. Like, they were not buying what he was selling. And no offense to Travis Green, I really think he is a good coach. His time was just up. This team has all the pieces, and I think they're going to add a little bit of depth scoring, maybe tweak the back end. They're not going to have any awful contracts like the like Benning was giving them. But yeah, I'm praying for the Canucks, even though I hate them, for next season, because the NHL is better when all the Canadian teams are better.
Yeah, yeah, I guess just that more rabid fan base. That's good for it. I gotta say, there's a, if we go back 2 months,
yeah,
we were like, even we don't have to go back that far. We're talking about still under the Mitts and Twiggs banner, not right. The formerly known as yada yada yada. We had a show where we praised the three California teams for how well they were doing and how great of a year they were having. Not 2 short months later, Anaheim, San Jose just in the basement, and LA barely hanging on. Now, I will say, I was down on Anaheim and San Jose from the beginning. Early in the year, I said it's not gonna pan out. You were more hopeful. I tried to show a little respect around the January, February time, because hey, they were putting it together. But I told you, I was like, this is not gonna happen. But taking credit where credit isn't due aside, did we jinx the California teams by being too positive for them earlier in the year, or do they deserve some blame for this at all?
Yeah, so San Jose, I don't think I was ever high on San Jose. Like, I was, they were good, right? The Ducks, I was high on the Ducks. I thought the turnaround that they did was unreal, from going to like last year where they had some of the worst, you know, numbers in NHL history, to this season where they were competing for the first half of the year. Heck, they had Troy Terry made the All-Star team over Matthew Tkachuk, who's having the quietest 100-point campaign ever in the NHL history. The quietest. He needs 4 points. Nobody's talking about, but Troy Terry made it to the All-Star game over Matthew Tkachuk. Still bitter. The Ducks were playing over their heads. And it seemed like these young guns, and they were going to carry them all the way. Sonny Milano, Trevor Zegras, Jamie Drysdale, Troy Terry, Matthew Comtois, even though he was on the rumor block for months, and helmed by Ryan Getzlaf still, who just retired or who is planning on retiring. It's probably good for their development that they didn't make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. They got a lot of picks. I thought Van Beek did an amazing job at the deadline. Amazing.
Yeah.
I think when we did our, you know, who won the trade deadline, I had them pretty high. I think it's really good they didn't make the playoffs. I think setting goals, and Dallas Eakins has done a really good job finally. You know, it's been years, but he's finally done a good job as a head coach in the NHL. Just, it's true, man. So I'm happy for them. San Jose, I still don't know what they are. Like, they just signed Thomas Hertl to an 8x8 or something?
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Why? Why would you do that? You have no cap space. You know, you got a good goalie in Kakinen from Minnesota, who I think is going to be a stud. You have Eklund, who's going to come in next season, and he's going to be a stud. But that's still like 4 years of development till you really start to reap those rewards of those young guns, right? So I don't understand what they have, like, still EK 65 on the back end making what, 12? They got Brett Burns making a bunch, Vlasic's making a bunch, Hurdle. Like, they have a lot. I don't know what the Sharks are.
I don't think that they totally know, or if they do, they know that maybe they're just identifying, like, we don't have enough up and coming. The contracts, the big guys that we do have are virtually untradeable.
Yeah.
Like, so we might as well just roll out a couple of big studs to, you know, give our fans hope that, hey, if everything breaks right, maybe we can make a playoff push, because they're not contenders. They can't move a lot of those contracts unless those guys start playing way better than they have the last couple of years, outside of Hurdle. He's great. You know, they get a little closer to the end of that contract. So I think they're kind of realizing that, as sometimes teams do, they think that they can hang on a little bit longer. They sign these guys into big contracts, and then they realize they're just left holding that bag. You know, like, they don't have any up and comers that are going to really fill it in. They're top end talent is a little too over the hill, and they're long-term commitment. So I think they're going to be that team for the next year or two, unless they do anything drastic. And I'm not sure how they can pull it off. Maybe Arizona will be looking to take on some contracts to sell a couple more of the seats.
Yeah.
We don't have that many to sell already. So
I want to just share this and then ask you a question before we get off these California teams. So the San Jose Sharks have 13 contracts under $1 million. 13 of their total 22 rosters under $1 million. That's how many big contracts, like big ticket contracts, they have. Couture's over 8, Hurdle's over 8. Eric Karlsson's over 10. Timo Meier 6 with a year left. Brent Burns is 8. Vlasic is 7. And then other than that, and LeBanc is almost 5. Like, that is a lot of money. Plus, they're still buying on Martin Jones. So you think about that. Here's the real question. We talked about a couple months ago about how, like, awesome these – well, I talked about how awesome these California teams were and how great they were in developing this year. Matt, if you were going to go into next season with San Jose, L.A., or Anaheim, what team would you want to start with? That's the real question.
I think it's Anaheim. I think it's a two horse race. I think San Jose never makes it out of that gate. There's just nothing going there. Yeah. But LA, I think LA has a pretty good future ahead. I still don't like Jonathan Quick is nearly 56 years old, I think. maybe a couple years shy, but I mean, he can't have that much hockey left in him, right? Realistically. Cal Peterson seems serviceable, but I don't know if he has a sudden explosion in terms of success. Drew's Doughty's still a hell of a hockey player, but he's not getting any younger. They do have a lot of talent, but I think they still have a lot of questions about and a lot of that talent being near the end of their career. So I could see the LA being kind of like, it's almost like a fake out in terms of on the rise, because, you know, if Quick leaves, if Doughty can't play full time next year, you know, like what's going on with their team? Are they built to continue to succeed in the years coming? You know, because then if you think 2-3 years down the road, is it Kopitar going to be in his mid-30s by then too? And like maybe he's – so I think that LA is having a great year, and if they work things well, they could parlay this. But I think if you're talking about who's going to probably be really good next year and for the years to come, it's Anaheim. They've got the young talent that's starting to peak. They've got a relatively young and solid goaltender. And they've got management that is just doing a fantastic job at balancing their development in a slow enough way that they don't overcommit too early on.
Yeah, this is probably the toughest like comparisons between two teams, like which one you want, right? I'm actually going to go the LA Kings way. I think the only thing that the Ducks have better than the LA Kings is goaltending. I think John Gibson is a stud, but or was a stud. How about we say that? Maybe we say he was a stud. I feel like there's been a lot of regression, and that's probably the play in front of him. That's probably the team organization that they've been, that the players they've been putting on the ice also has a huge thing to do with that. But I think, like you said, Cal Peterson is serviceable. Is he a 1A? No, he's probably a 1B, right? Like he's a solid backup. He's played really well this year, but when the workload gets too heavy, he does seem to, you know, flutter a little bit and doesn't do as well. But man, I look at this, like Quinton Byfield has not even hit Trevor Zegras level yet, which is crazy. They have Brant Clark, who fell to them in last year's draft, right? He's a stud on the defense. They still have Turcotte playing in the freaking AHL or junior, right? And then they have a whole bunch of other solid studs. They have Kaliev, who lit it up at the World Juniors a few years ago. Sean Durzi's been a nice little surprise. Elias Anderson from the Rangers has been all right. And then Philip Deneau has been okay, right? Like I think he's a solid stud. And I don't know. I'm a Kings guy.
No, I get it. And you made a lot of great points, but I still think that I see that gap between you've got this like dearth of talent.
Yeah.
At like that 20-21 year old age, that's probably going to need, even if it's at the NHL level, needs 2 or 3 more years of progression to be ready to carry a team.
Yeah.
That's the up and coming guys. And then you've got your aging talent with, you know, your Quick, your Doughty, it's kind of even your Kopitar. And that's, I don't know if that's going to be as smooth a progression. I feel like whilst those current stars are still good, and if they can maintain, if they can maintain for a couple more years, then they can help that progression and hand off to that next rung of talent that comes along. But I don't know. I think this is pure speculation and just borderline wildly inappropriate to even say. But like Drew Doughty is often talked about as being a guy who's just like a natural talent. Like guys would joke about how he doesn't prepare before the game, how he's like doesn't spend any time in the gym or doesn't focus on that kind of stuff. And now maybe that's changed in the last couple of years. Maybe he's taking better care of his body, watching what he's eating. But it was always that thing about Drew is that he was just so naturally gifted that he didn't have to put in that extra work.
Yeah.
And I can't help but feel like if that doesn't change, the talent drop off is usually that thing that stops. You look at a guy like, you know, going way, way back, Gary Roberts, the guy that not only extended his career, but boosted his career by focusing in on that. And so many superstars today, heck, so many regular stars today just put in all that work into making sure that their body is in its peak form at all times. And so I can't help but feel like just suspect that if there's a superstar that's been relying on talent and natural gifts and doesn't adopt that, they're going to see at some point in the not too distant future a really steep drop off.
How old is Drew Doughty now?
I'm going to say 34 off the cuff.
32, and he still has 6 years and $11 million. That is a deadly contract.
Yeah. That's the thing. It's like 32 is still very much defenseman prime, but he's starting to get into those years, and it's a big injury he's got right now. So
the other thing Drew Doughty has is he's got a lot of miles on him, right?
Oh, like, yeah.
How many years did Drew Doughty and the LA Kings were they a force in the playoffs? You know, regular season alone, that's 82 games, right? But they were in the playoffs every year and seemed like they were going deep every year. That's like a couple extra seasons just added on to him already.
Yeah. Plus,
he's been playing top D minutes since he was like a kid, since he was 20. So
yeah,
there's a lot of miles on that man. And yeah, you'll probably see the body start to falter, you know, fault a little bit. Like, but you know, you never know. Phil Kessel doesn't look like he's worked out a day in his life. And the man is like still playing, not well, but he's still
he's still out there.
He's still there.
Giving it.
Hell, if Andrew 82%. Ladd is still playing, Drew Doughty's going to make it forever.
Man, Andrew Ladd. Wow, that was a steep drop-off.
Yeah, he got bodied last night. It was amazing.
Man, I thought he left the league like 7 years ago.
No, he's been playing minors in New York. It was great. And well, this year he's been in Arizona, but yeah.
Oh, man, that's perfect. That makes total sense.
Yeah.
This is something that I was thinking about in preparation for this, and I ragged on Jonathan Huberdeau. Early on, we ragged on Austin Matthews, right?
Are you about who to give Huberdeau praise right now? Come on.
Who baby. Else did we rag on? I'm trying to think. Made a ton of fun of the New York Rangers and your pick for them winning the division all season. Let's see, who else?
That was smart for that one, though.
Bagged on Boston a ton. Just an absolute ton.
You bagged on Boston.
Oh, yeah. No, sorry. I'm saying this.
Whole time.
I'm saying this. I was bagging on Huberdeau. I was bagging on Matthews. I was bagging on Boston. I was bagging on all of these players and teams.
Yeah.
Took that, and it pushed them to higher levels of success than they've ever known. Huberdeau's having an amazing, amazing season. Austin Matthews is cementing his legacy at 24 as arguably, possibly, probably the greatest Leaf of all time.
All if you time. Get
any playoff success, it'll be an easy one.
There. Greatest American of all time.
Yeah. You know, Boston is, you know, been a lock for the playoffs for months now and is threatening to get up out of that wild card every other day. And New York is so close to winning the division that I laughed in your face about. I, on the flip side of this,
just make So smart.
Flip side of this, I gave, you know, a couple months ago, I gave the California teams credit right before they all tanked. You know, feels like every time I say something nice about the Blues, they go on a losing streak. I'm starting to worry that my criticism is fueling the people I'm criticizing, and that my praise is drawing them down.
Maybe.
What I'm really trying to do is segue into our next segment, which is the Dark Horse playoff team that we were going to talk about. And initially, I wanted to bring up the Blues. And I know that seems weird to be Dark Horse if they're doing that well, but this is the team that has, they're not winning the division. They're battling for position. They
hella well, though.
Hella well. They've got 7 20 goal scorers on their team this season, and they've got two more that could get there. They could end up with 9 20 goal scorers on their team this year.
Dang.
And I think, if I'm not mistaken, they actually have the most 20 goal scorers in the league right now. They're a top 3 power play. They're top 10 penalty kill. But I'm not going to choose them. And I'm not going to talk about that anymore. I'm not. Blues, you stink. You don't have a chance. You don't stand a chance, Blues. You can't make it. I'm really tempted to throw my hat onto the Minnesota Wild and support them as my dark horse choice. You know, again, just to try to tank them, as they're almost certainly going to be playing the Blues. But in reality, I think my dark horse is the Nashville Predators. I think that they've been playing well above expectations almost the entire season.
Yeah.
They right now, obviously, they're not clinched, but they look like they're virtual lock with 7 games to go. You know, they're tied with Dallas for the wild card, 4 points up and a game in hand over Vegas for that wild card spot. They've got probably one of the best goaltenders in the league playing his best. Just playing his best. They've got a really solid defense, and they've got a team that, while I don't know if their top end lines up with everybody else, I feel like they're just well built so that they're rolling all their lines and the guys are playing well. And they seem to be a relatively big, strong team that always works well in playoffs. They've got some offensive flair on there. Like, you know, so yeah, it'll be a tough go for them. They're going to have a really tough first round matchup regardless, but man, I think that they're going to be a really tough out for whoever they get. It doesn't matter who they get.
You know who else we ragged on at the start of the year, Matt? Matt Duchene and the Nashville Predators.
Yeah.
If you were to say, you know, looking back, and then all of a sudden you're like, you have no idea what's happening. You're like, Matt Duchene's going to have his career year with the Nashville Predators. He's going to have an all-time high in goals. He's going to be pretty high in assists. He's going to have 76 points in 71 games. Would you believe that?
No.
No.
I would have laughed in your face.
And then if you would have said that Roman Josi would be top 10 in NHL scoring, would you believe that?
That would have felt made up as well.
Yeah. Like, Nashville's having a magical season. And what's crazy is there's 3 better central teams than Nashville. Like, that's what's crazy. Colorado, you don't want to play Colorado. Like, Nashville's going to try to make sure they're not the second wild card, because why the hell would you want to play Colorado first round, right? St. Louis has won 5 in a row, or is it more than 5 in a row? They've been on a roll.
Yeah, and they're 9-0-1, I think, in the last 10.
You know who else is playing well? Who we've also, you know, disrespected? Jordan Binnington. The man is starting to come around. Now they got a two-headed monster in net. That's a team you won't want to mess with. Minnesota's kind of like, they dipped a little bit. Now they're shooting back up, right? That team also is like a bunch of young kids. You have no idea. And they have a great goalie tandem as well. And then you have Nashville. That's a great pick. I wouldn't, like, most likely Calgary's going to play Nashville. And it's going to be a tough out. They're playing amazing. And when you got a leader like that in Roman Josi, and you have a goalie like that in UC Saros, and you're finally getting the scoring that you're paying for, right? Like, you're overpaying for Matt Duchene, you're overpaying for Ryan Johansson. Philip Forsberg is just being Philip Forsberg. He's always done this, right? They've done well. They have that Tanner Janot or whatever his name is. He's getting no rookie love. Like, he's playing unreal. Nashville's a deep team, but I'm gonna trump your dark horse.
Whoa.
I'm gonna do it right now. The Edmonton Oilers, coming from the Flames fan, the Edmonton Oilers are the dark horse. They're the team that nobody's really talking about them, right? You're not hearing much about them. They're kind of in that second, third spot in the wild card. Hell, if Calgary falls, they could be first. They're playing well. Like, Jay Woodcroft has got them playing well. They're hiding they're not losing a lot on the back end. The only game they've kind of been bodied was Calgary, and Calgary exploited that back end, right? So if you can hide that defense and your goaltendings are getting hot, Mike Smith's getting hot. Mikko Koskinen's had a couple bad games, but he was playing hot before that. So now you got two goaltenders playing hot. Edmonton Oilers are scary. And you know what also helps in the playoffs? Star players.
Yeah.
Generational talents help in the playoffs. They just do. Right? You can be systematically the best defensive team ever, but you know who can take that game over is that star player, right? And the Edmonton Oilers have two of them. Two of them, right?
Yeah.
Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, and it also helps that they got Evander Kane for free. Thank you, San Jose. Yeah, I don't know. I am actually scared to play the Edmonton Oilers. I don't know why. I wouldn't want to play them. I hope Vegas plays in the first round. That would be a heck of a series, right? Vegas, mm-hmm. Edmonton, that'd be wild back and forth. But yeah, my dark horse is the Edmonton Oilers.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to rag on you too much. They're peaking at the right time.
Yeah.
All I want to hear is who's been talking up Mike Smith for the last 2 months? Who do you know that's been telling everybody that Mike Smith is going to show up?
Mark Spector. I'm just kidding.
I think he was more handsome than Mark Spector.
Matt, I will say there's this certain guy in our fantasy league who picked up Mike Smith and was trying to flip him for a high price for the playoff run, and we all laughed in his face and called him dumb. Has looked like a genius this past week.
Sounds like a smart guy.
He's a very smart guy. You know, he's got some hot takes sometimes, and all the players he rags on usually like outperform his hot takes. But yeah.
Yeah. I mean, genius. Mike Smith, back-to-back shutouts.
Yeah, that was
that sounds like that's probably good for fantasy. He's won his last six games in the last 2 weeks. That also sounds pretty good. I don't know. I'm no fantasy genius, but whoever your friend is, it sounds like he's really successful, and you should talk to him about fantasy more. Oh man, I don't know. I think that Mike Smith he's obviously getting older. He's obviously not in his prime, but what Mike Smith has always had is his fitness levels is solid, and he plays with confidence. When he has that confidence, when he believes in himself and the team in front of him seems to believe in him, he becomes unstoppable. I think that you're completely right that this is a really scary team to have to face going into the playoffs. They haven't officially clinched yet, but it looks like it's a lock. I think if it's Edmonton LA first round, I think Edmonton's going to run all over them. I think it's going to be four games, and I don't think it's going to be close.
Yeah,
I think if Vegas can squeeze in, now you've got an interesting series, because and look at that, those are the two teams that we picked to be 1 and 2 in this division.
Yeah.
Barely, if they can pull it off, just barely squeaking in and making us look less dumb, it would be wonderful if we reflect on that. Yeah. But if Vegas gets in and they continue to get healthy, like it looks like they are, that's going to be a hell of a series. And I wouldn't want to have to play the winner of that.
Yeah. Here's the one thing I wanted before we get off this. Who I'm worried about the most is the Carolina Hurricanes. They just lost Frederick Anderson yesterday.
Oh, no.
That's been a stud. He's having an MRI today, so they don't really know how serious it is. The Carolina Hurricanes might be in a little bit of trouble. And you know who's going to win that division now?
Yeah, I know.
Just say it.
The New York Rangers.
Oh, baby. Another one for
which
me.
I can't wait to, like, ridiculous. That they're, I mean, if they win the division,
yeah,
and Shesterkin doesn't
get the heart, yeah,
then I don't know. I might have to just abandon the hockey podcast altogether because that doesn't make sense.
It's wild. Like,
their numbers are so bad.
Yeah,
and he's just like single-handedly dragging them to success, and not just like a little success, but like a lot of success.
Yeah, they are.
It's insane.
I love it. That was like one of my, well, I had two hot takes. I had the Rangers and I had the Boston.
But you I'm know, just glad that Boston's out of reach, at least for the division. But yeah. Here's what's here. Like, this is the type of thing that drives me insane. Things are just breaking so right for the Rangers right now. Like, think about this. Carolina's been running that division and almost that conference with very little pushback. They've been, you know, one of the top teams in the league all year. And here they are right before the playoffs. They are potentially going to lose their stud goaltender.
That sucks.
Who else in that division that has been playing fantastic all year and has just lost their stud goaltender, who would have been my dark horse, who would have been, who we previously mapped out as potentially winning it all? The Pittsburgh Penguins. Tristan Jarry is now week to week. Now, I'm sure Casey DeSmith is going to give it his all, but man, that's so annoying. Here we had two teams that looked like powerhouses that are just losing that reliable goaltender, and then you've got the New York Rangers who just have this Terminator in their net, and it's just.
I love it. Let's give a little respect to the Rangers, though. Just a little bit. Like,
give them a very little bit.
They're top five in power play and they're top 10 in penalty kill. But their goaltending, like you said, is like top two. Insane.
Yeah.
That is insane. Yeah. So you have good power play, good penalty kill, and then one of the best goaltenders ever or in the NHL. Like, how lucky can you be to go from Lundqvist to Shesterkin? Like, oh my gosh. Like, that's crazy. It's almost like Vancouver going from Luongo to Markstrom to Demko. That's also not fair. Like,
don't forget Schneider was a very, very good goaltender for a bit there.
That's another team that just like seems to
just fall backwards into goaltending and then just can't take advantage of it.
Yeah, it's crazy. So, the Rangers are going to win that division, especially if, you know, I feel for Frederik Andersen because this guy was the scapegoat in Toronto for years. Can't win with Frederik Andersen. We can't win with him. He can't do it. He's not the big time guy. And he's had one of the most incredible seasons for a goaltender in Carolina history. And hopefully it's not serious. Let's just say that. Yeah. Hopefully he's okay. So, guys,
fingers crossed.
And the Hurricanes deserve it. So, yeah.
I'm a little bit bummed that we're not going to see what I was hoping for. I was really hoping that we would get to see a Florida-Tampa Bay first-round matchup and a Toronto-Boston first-round matchup. But Florida is, you know, they basically got the top seed in the East, and I don't see anybody else taking that from them now. And I don't see Tampa Bay falling below Washington. I think Washington has that 8th seed locked up. So. Yeah. That's just one fun thing that's out the window, unfortunately. I guess Boston could still catch Tampa Bay, so we could still see that Toronto-Boston matchup in the first round, but unlikely. I don't know. That's a lot of fun that's out the window. It's such a bummer. Such a bummer. I think we were looking at one of what was going to be one of the most exciting. I mean, obviously, with the last couple of seasons being what they were, but I think this is going to be a really, really, really exciting playoffs. I really hate to see some of the most impactful players get hurt right before.
Yeah. And this is the only, bring back the 1-8, you know, bring back 1-8. Cause then this wild card and you have like Vegas facing Edmonton or St. Louis playing Minnesota first round. It's just, it might get your eyeballs for the first round. Right. But that's not how it should be, you know, like,
I agree. I don't like this. I don't really care for this divisioning system. I can say that I know I've looked into it in the past, in the first couple of years especially, But most years, the first round doesn't shape up that different because just the way that the things roll, you know, kind of break is that, you know, the worst team still plays the best team. The second best team still plays, you know, but like, so it's only the middle that sees any kind of real impact, but it's the second round where it really plays into, you know, like, for example, we're looking at it right now, Toronto could have been the second seed overall if it was just traditional 1-8.
Yeah.
And they could have been the second seed overall and they would have had, you know,
Boston.
Well, they would have got that Boston first round. That would have been nice. But then they, you know, they would have got the lower seeds. But instead, their reward, if they win their first round matchup, is probably going to be playing the President's Trophy winner.
Yeah.
And I understand the idea behind it, the idea that if you build up these rivalries that, you know, you'll have more people bought in. But I don't know, are you really getting more people bought into the playoffs? Like, I don't know. I think if your team's in the playoffs, you follow them. And I like the more, like, I'd rather see them play a team they didn't play already 25 times this year.
Yeah, but if I'm Toronto, I would rather be playing, well, I guess maybe not. I'd rather be playing Boston or Pittsburgh than Tampa.
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't seem like a reward to me. You do well in the regular season, your first round matchup's the Tampa Bay Lightning, right? Where they're not even like the bottom four team. Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. I don't know. Also, like, St. Louis is playing Minnesota. That seems crazy to me, where Minnesota, if it was like normal, they'd be playing the Kings. I don't know. I don't know if I love the interdivision first round. I think I like the 1-8. It's simpler. It's easier. It's usually, it's a better, you know, shape up of how it should be. Right.
Yeah. I prefer over it 100%. I prefer the 1-8.
And it's not the two top teams. The two top teams are fine. They'll always play the bottom top two teams. Right. It's the 3-6. Right. That's the ones that suck.
Yeah. It's annoying. It's unfortunate. I wish it was something that would change, but as we know, the NHL isn't known for its ability to change, especially in the light of fan interest. They'd rather just tell you what you want and how you would appreciate it and do that and ignore your feedback.
I love it.
Oh, we're such big hockey fans. Oh, I don't know. It's I'm still very excited, but it's a bit of a damper on things there. We'll see. We got about 2 weeks to go, give or take. I think probably in the near future, we could say one final power ranking episode. Maybe we can power through that, and then maybe either as a shortened version or a full episode, we can give our we can mock through the playoffs on how we think it's going to fall down. Maybe we could just, we wouldn't try to come to a decision like we did last time. We just present our arguments and say who we got. So
I think when all the teams are clinched, I think the best would take all 16 of those teams and power rank them. Like, that would be the best dark horse, all that kind of stuff. That'd be a ton of fun. So that's coming in the next couple of weeks. Stay ready. Pod's about to get spicy, you know. Playoff hockey's coming. We're gonna have more hot takes. There's gonna be some real anger, right? Maybe some live streams of playoff games. I'm excited. This is the best time of hockey, of the hockey season, right? The long grind is over. We're just beginning the real fun stuff, right? I'm praying that it's not a first round exit. I hate that.
Yeah, tell me about it, man. And for anybody that's a listener only, check us out on YouTube, because you can see that Tyler and I are both already growing our playoff beards. So we've got that. We're very excited about that. Oh, Tyler has left the building. Sorry, gang. But that's something to look forward to. Maybe you want to just see my white on white on white aesthetic that I'm going for right now, or Tyler's beautiful, beautiful man cave that he's got built. So check us out on YouTube. As always, we're going to kind of work to put some more content on there. Check us out on Twitter. You can find us at Headspuck. Headpucks? Headspuck? I don't know. Somewhere. Just search Mitts and Twigs. You'll find us. And if you look really hard, you might find some of my Mitt steaks as well.
I love it.
Yeah, what's not to love? I think that's a wrap for us this week, gang. Really appreciate everybody listening. Couldn't do this without you. Otherwise, we'd be just shouting into a void. So thank you so much. Tune in next week when we're going to have some more hot takes, some more fun to share. For my man Twigs, I'm Mitz. We're out. Thank you.